years ago. As we begin to look there, I'd love to pray for us. Before I pray, just did want to mention if you're a guest this morning, or you've been a part of Harvest for a little while and you're wanting to get a little bit more connected, you want to receive the weekly newsletter, you need some prayer or encouragement, we've got these connection cards now here at the fellowship table for after service. There's a basket there. If there's something that you'd like us to be praying about, we'd be honored to pray for you, and you can just kind of fill it out on the connection card, put it in there upside down in the basket. We'll secure those and reach out and make sure to be praying for you this week and in the weeks to come. Also, if you're looking, you want to get connected with the weekly newsletter, or you're wanting to join one of the teams at Harvest and begin to serve in some different way, or get more plugged in, there's some ways you can indicate that on the connection card as well. We'd be honored to follow up with you. We're also getting really high tech. I think I mentioned it, but we actually have a little tap card up there too. So you don't even have to pull a pin out. There are Harvest pins. Take one if you like pins. But you can just tap your phone to one of these little Connect tap cards, and it'll bring you to a link electronically. You can fill that out. We'll get notified and follow up with you. But wanted to make sure we stay connected and get you connected. But without further ado, I want to pray, and I want to get into what I love to do with you, and that's open God's Word. I don't really like, I'm just going to say that, I don't like the announcements, but they're important. I'm terrible at them, but I want to jump in with you guys into God's Word and encourage you from His inerrant Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we are here to make much of You. We are here to have our lives completely connected to You, to be anchored to You in new ways, or to be anchored to You for the first time as we place faith in Your Son Jesus and how great He is. How awesome He is, and how amazing He's been that He would stand in our place, that He would die on the cross, and that in power, the power of the Holy Spirit rose from the grave on that third day. God, we've come to know You better. We've come to lose a bit of who we are so that we might gain who You are and who You're calling us to be. So God, I pray that You would just give us supple hearts this morning to receive Your instruction, that You'd shape our thinking. God, that we would be more fueled by Your Spirit and more fueled by Your unconditional love, that we would leave this place strengthened by You, walking closely with You, that we could love well those around us, that we could be more convinced of Your presence in our lives and more convinced of the good news of Jesus, that we with tenderness and yet confidence in You and boldness would go to be on mission with You to share the good news wherever You send us, that others might come to know Your Son Jesus and repent and confess Him as Lord and follow Him as well. God, I thank You for everyone gathered here on the bleachers this morning and in these chairs. They're made in Your image. You love them dearly and deeply, and it's Your desire to draw them in a special way this morning. So God, minister to us by Your Spirit and through Your Word, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple years ago, in our old town of Duxbury, Massachusetts, we had a special new resident come to town. This young, raw, edgy country singer, Zach Bryan, bought a house in our town just a few miles from our house. And it was like all the rage. Everybody was talking about, did you hear who bought a house on the beach? Zach Bryan. And Kristen called me from work one day, like, did you hear who bought a house? I'm like, Zach who? Like, you know, okay, everyone's talking about it. People were trying to, like, catch a glimpse of Zach driving around town. And I would see him. I became a little bit of a fan. I'm trying to play it cool, but I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I heard his one song, and then I was like, oh, wow, you know. And so there was, like, this uptick of traffic in Duxbury from around the region because people found out quickly that he bought this beautiful historic coastal home right on the beach. And so his little quiet street became, like, a street for the paparazzi and, like, local looky-loos. And Kristen got on me because when we would go to the town beach, I was like, hey, let's go. We'll just go down St. George today. And she's like, well, it's quicker to go down Standish, but I wanted to see what Zach was up to if he was in town. And so we definitely saw him several times. He has a big gate, double gate out front of his house. But I'd see him in the yard with his girlfriend at the time doing Halloween decorations. And people would see him pumping gas and things like that. And they'd take selfies with him and post it and tell everybody. It was just big, big stuff. People wanted to catch a glimpse of him. He was someone of significance. Many of you have been there, maybe a little bit starstruck. You've got a favorite band or singer, and you've been to a concert, and it's neat to be in that arena to hear the music and be kind of near those people. I haven't run into them yet, but I bet I'll be a little starstruck when I run into Gray Zabel if I get that chance. I know great Pier boy, drafted first round of Seattle Seahawks, won the Super Bowl as a rookie. Pains me to say that as a Patriots fan. But how cool, you know, how cool. We get enamored by people that are significant or known. So some 2,000 years ago, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, entered into Jerusalem. It was the first day of Passover. Thousands of people, some scholars and historians would venture out and say there may have been about 100,000 people or thereabouts in and around Jerusalem for Passover. 8 days of celebrating the rescue of God, where God in his kindness and mercy led the people out of bondage in Egypt. Significant holiday, three main Jewish holidays that everyone, even outside of Jerusalem, the area would come back to celebrate and to reflect and to thank God for his goodness. Well, Jesus was entering Jerusalem officially as Savior and King. And the streets were abuzz. People were following after Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. People were lining the streets ahead of him to just catch a glimpse because they knew they were in the presence of someone with great significance and great authority. They just wanted to be near him. So there they were, crowding in around Jesus, shouting and singing, as we'll see, just wanting to get a little touch of Jesus. Jesus had been in Jerusalem countless times during his earthly ministry, but up to that point, he, and it was still at this point, was serving in great humility and sort of this subversive approach. People realized, and more people were realizing that he was Messiah, that he was the Savior, the Son of God, but he kept that under wraps because it wasn't quite time for him to go to the cross. So people would ask and people would question, and he alluded to such that he is the Savior, the Son of God, but he kept that kind of chill until this time. This was his official grand entrance. This is where he would allow the people just to sing his praises and to give him glory and honor, shouting out to him, Hosanna, Hosanna, because it was his time that God had established for him to come, to arrive, and to lay down his life for us. Big moment, huge moment in history. So let's take a look at the gospel according to Mark, chapter 11, looking in verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. So this is the setting. It's Passover, as is mentioned. They're here east of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. This was a significant location, is a significant location. Jesus would often sneak away and pray and connect with the Father during his earthly ministry there. The Mount of Olives carries such great significance and such great weight. So as they were drawing near to Jerusalem, they were coming from the east. There was this little town of Bethpage and this one Bethany that we might be more familiar with. Bethany is this town on the east side of the Mount of Olives. That's where Martha and Mary and Lazarus grew up. That was their home. Town. Jesus had broken bread there with them. Jesus brought Lazarus from the dead. This is a key place, significant location for Jesus. And so they're leaving. And so there they are, Bethany, the Mount of Olives, east side of the Mount of Olives. And Jesus now has instructions for his two disciples. He said, go into this village in front of you. What we see here is Jesus gives clear instruction. He's following through on God's plan. And the incredible thing is, as God calls us to himself through Jesus, we get woven into the plans that he has for us here, this side of eternity. And the plans that he has for us have eternal weight. One of the great statements of Jesus as people are getting to know him and understand his teaching and see his miraculous works is Jesus made it abundantly clear throughout his ministry that he didn't come to further his name per se, that he didn't come to sort of further his agenda, but he came to further the plan of God. He says, I haven't come to do my plan. I've come to do the plan, the will of the one who sent me. All of the details we're looking at here, all of these details are under God's will, under his direction. This was God's plan, and Jesus was the agent to carry these plans forth. Every detail around Jesus' birth that we've been looking at here in the last several weeks and our other studies pointed to a God who is sovereign, who's in control, and who's orchestrating and directing all things. I find great comfort in knowing that this God is personal and relational, and he's come for our rescue. And if he's in control of the universe, in control of all things, and is ministering in intentional ways, then certainly he's in control of my life. Certainly he cares about the details of my life. Certainly he has purpose for me. Certainly he's at work in and through me. He's working in and through you, even when it doesn't seem like it or we don't understand it. This God is in control of all things. So Jesus, fulfilling the plan of God, the will of God, is bringing his followers further into it. He appoints two of his disciples, gives them clear instruction. You guys, I want you to go into this town over here. Go into Bethany. You're going to find this young donkey that's never been sat upon or ridden. You're going to find it just like this. This is what you need to do. Go get that donkey. Bring it to me. This is unusual. Following Jesus can be peculiar, can be unusual. Part of God's plans just look different than the norm of everyday life. He'll call us to things that are unusual and difficult, but he'll call us clearly. He'll give us the roadmap. We don't know the outcome always. We don't know all the details, but he gives us himself and his presence, and he gives us his word. He gave them clear instruction. This is what you need to do. So the story, the true narrative unfolds from there. Go into the village in front of you. Immediately, as you enter, you're going to find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it. Bring it. Verse 3. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say the Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately. Clear instruction, clear direction under God's plan for them, and even prepared them for what they should say when they met a little bit of opposition. Just tell them the Lord needs this donkey, but we'll bring it back. We'll return it immediately. Go and do this. Be prepared to say this. The word of God is so rich, so deep, so much application, so much timeless relevance for all generations, shaping our understanding and our faith in who God is, shaping our relationships and how we can interact. Scriptures that inform our thinking, give us wisdom, shape how we should treat our neighbor, treat our families. The Word of God brings transformation to us and to the situations we find ourselves in. He said, here's what you need to do. And this is the word, the instruction you need to lean on. I'll make a way. So, they find themselves here in verse 4. They went away and they found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. As Jesus said it would be, so it came to pass. Over and over again, we've seen in our studies here in the last several weeks that God will promise, God will lay out and foreshadow, give us an understanding of where things are and where things are heading. And then those that were receiving those instructions and receiving that word from God stepped into that reality. And as he said, so it was. These two guys take that instruction from Jesus and they're probably like, okay, we know it's significant. Maybe there's an understanding of what the prophet Zechariah said about the Savior coming in on a donkey and humility. Maybe there was some, you know, there's things that are not here for us. We don't know the full context or what they were talking about, but unusual. And they go, and as it was told, it came to pass. They found this donkey. But what I don't want us to miss out on here right away in verse 4, not only did it come to pass as Jesus promised, not only did the plan unfold as Jesus said it would, what they see here, or what we see, and is a reminder to me and a challenge to me and an encouragement to us, is this: and they went. And they went. In other words, they heard the instruction of Jesus and they went, they obeyed. They received it and they acted upon it. Obedience is such a large aspect of our walk and our faith. To hear from the Lord and to hear his instruction, but to not act upon it, is to not hear it at all. And I'm not saying this to beat you up or to challenge you or to harm. I'm just saying for all of us, our life really gains traction and comes to fruition the more and more we receive and hear from the voice of Jesus and the guidance of the living God through the instruction of God's word. And we just say, Lord, you are King, and your instruction is higher, it's better, your ways are proper in every aspect of that reality. And in me and my family, not that we're going to do it flawlessly. We want to do it your way. We want to walk with you as King, day in and day out. We want to receive from you and hear from you. And just take simple steps of faith with you, Jesus, and simple steps of obedience. And it's those simple steps that transform and bring fruit. It's been said that obedience is, you know, a long walk in the same direction. I want a long walk with Jesus and my family and with all of y'all. Did I get that right, Chris? Oh, y'all? What? Yeah. Where I grew up, it's you guys or you. Anyway. Because I know what it's like to go this way, a long walk in that direction. I'm not picking on what. Is it, where am I? Anyway, is that north? Nothing with the north, but I've gone that way for a long time without Jesus, and it is it's not good. It's good for a little while. It feels good for a little while. Tastes good for a little while, but it leads to chaos and angst. And ultimately, what the scriptures say, leads to destruction, leads to death on all levels. Hey, Tim, all right. I want to hear from the Lord, from his word, and I want to walk with him, and I want to apply what he's laying out for me. You're in good company. Don't make your neighbor feel weird or whatever. Don't stare at people. But like, you're in. There are people here in the bleachers. We don't have it all sorted out. We made a trillion mistakes. We have sinned against God. We've been arrogant and proud. We pursued unhealthy relationships. We haven't treated people the way Jesus treats us. And yet he's forgiven us, and he's given us a new heart that beats with his, and he's invited us in a life of mercy and forgiveness and redemption. He guides us. He says, here, receive my word. Receive my instruction by faith. And with me, Jesus, live it. Obey it. There's a lot of neat things happening in our country, despite some of the heavy things. There's great movements going on, I believe, by the Lord. Little revivals and things like that. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of shouting and screaming and celebration. I think there's this validity. There's some good there. But I think, as my Nana would say, and my dad used to say, the proof is in the pudding. What does it look like in 5 months, in 5 years? Hopefully these movements grow and expand. It's people that are not only just singing to Jesus, this great excitement and this fervor for Jesus, but that fervor is also quiet in that day in and day out, when there's not always a crowd and when no one's necessarily looking, there are people receiving the instruction of the Lord and applying it and seeking to walk with Jesus in compliance and obedience. You won't regret it. Not for a second. They took the clear instruction and they did it. Verse 4, they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, here in verse 5, what are you doing untying the colt? Can you imagine? Like, someone's trying to, like, grab your horse. You got it hitched up outside your house. And someone just walks up. Hey, don't mind me, you know, saddling a thing. You'd be like, time out. Who are you? Why are you taking my animal? And that's a scene, except for it's this young donkey, this unbroken colt. They just roll up, untie it, and they're trying to walk away. And the owners, presumably, or people connected to them, was like, hey, what gives, buddy? That could be a problem, you know, that. So I don't recommend that, but this was God's plan. And verse 6, they told them what Jesus had said. Just a quick reminder, what was the statement? Jesus said, you just tell them the Lord has need of it and will return it immediately. They gave them that instruction right from Jesus, and they were allowed to go away with this colt. Verse 7, they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw cloaks on it, and he sat on it. They took their outer garments. They made a makeshift saddle. They hoist Jesus up on this little colt, and he's about to make his entrance in. They're treating him with reverence. This is royal, regal type of treatment. Jesus, we understand that you are Messiah. We don't have all the details. We don't quite get it, but we've been walking with you for a while. We know that this is a significant, important moment. And we don't even want your backside to touch this bare back of this animal here. And so here are our outer garments. Here are our coats. Sit on our coats and ride. The subtle reverence here and the subtle worship of Jesus' disciples in that display has great weight. Many spread their cloaks in verse 8 on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from trees. Beginning of Passover, remember the scene. People crowded in. Jesus is about a mile and a half east of Jerusalem with his guys, and he's about to head west into the city. Others are now gathering. Others are catching wind of what's happening. And others begin to lay down their garments for King Jesus on the roadway. Just reckless abandon. We talked about this a little bit Wednesday night with the students. In that day, many people didn't have like a big wardrobe. I mean, typically. So for you to lay down your outer garment for a donkey to walk across was like sacrificial. And as my bride chimed in and said, yeah, I mean, kind of, you've been at a parade and horses do, you know, I mean, like this is like reckless abandon
for Jesus. Just here's my coat, and laying it down that he would ride across that so even the hooves of this donkey wouldn't touch the bare stone and roadway there. And they were laying branches there that he had cut from the fields. And John's account lets us know there are palm branches being waved and thrown on the road. And they're giving this red carpet treatment to Jesus. And it's quite symbolic. I mean, this was the type of treatment a king would receive when coming back from war. King would come back victorious and would ride in on a battle stallion, and there'd be soldiers behind them with swords and everything, and they're treating Jesus as victorious king, as this great conqueror. He is a conqueror, but not necessarily in the way they envisioned. People are lining the streets. You can imagine as they're looking to Jesus, they're kind of looking, where are the swords? And where are the soldiers? Jesus was riding a donkey, which was a symbol of peace. Kings would ride donkeys at times of peace. Jesus rode in. In great obedience to the Father. And he rode in for you and for me because he would never forsake us. He would never abandon us. He would never lead us astray. And so he is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And he rode in emphatically, purposefully. But he wasn't coming to wage war against Rome. He was coming to go to the cross to wage war against our sin and against death and against the kingdom of darkness. So verse 8, the people are spreading their cloaks on the road. Others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And verse 9, and those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, or save us now. We see this, it seems like they were quoting Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. Hosanna, rescue, save us, King Jesus, bring rescue for us. Rescue us from what we're facing. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So the people in the crowd are acknowledging that something is happening, that this one is coming under the guidance and sovereignty and direction of God. Verse 10, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, the Davidic promise, the Davidic covenant. This might be fulfillment of that. They're sorting out what's taking place. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Salvation and glory and praise and peace in the highest heavens. Rescue us, King Jesus. Seems that in that crowd there were various responses. Some, I think, were looking for a political figure. Some were looking for a military figure to come in and push back on Rome. Some were hoping that there would be this new era that would come back and hearken back to the time of David or to the time of Solomon. They wanted control again. They wanted to be in a position of prominence again. Some were looking to Jesus to be this great warrior, this great general to come in and to do battle. Do away with all the nonsense. And yet others in the crowd, by the grace of God, seem to understand that Jesus is in fact the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That Jesus was in fact leading in a kingdom and an empire that was not of this world. He's doing something supernatural and transcendent. I guess the question I have for me and my family and for you all is, what's our approach to Jesus? How do we respond to him? It was just a loaded day. It's hard for the people to sort through everything going on in real time as Jesus entered in, but it did seem like some were just hoping that Jesus would fulfill their agenda, just sort of position them in significant ways there in Jerusalem. In some ways, they were looking at Jesus as sort of a stepping stone. They thought if Jesus could come in and sort of gain control, then they could kind of stand on the back of Jesus, that they could kind of be at the epicenter of things again. Many had different understandings of who Jesus was and what he was to accomplish and what he would look like. And just a few days after that, some from this crowd, presumably, went from worshiping and praising Jesus and singing, honoring him and lauding him and giving him the respect and the praise he deserved. And some in that crowd then just a short time after were ready to turn on him and reject him. They'd rather have Barabbas, this known insurrectionist, this known criminal who was just a troublemaker, be released as according to the tradition. No, we could release Jesus or Barabbas. Who do you want? Like, no, we want Barabbas. Like, we're done with Jesus. In our human condition and in our feeble ways, and it's sad, but there are seasons or times where one day we can be singing Jesus' praises and then just sort of denying him on Tuesday by the way I live or I'm not living. Jesus entered into the city as the Son of God, as a Savior, as Rescuer and King. And it wasn't just this one-time deal. He was coming in to say, here I am. I am the one. I am the Lord. And his desire for me and for my marriage and for all of our relationships and connections is that he'd be King, that he'd be at the center of it. That certainly we'd gather as one on Sunday and we would sing and we would worship him collectively, but then we would leave here Sunday afternoon yielding to him as Savior, yielding to him as King, trusting him and walking with him. He's calling us to a love of him where we love him not for just what he can do for me or what he can provide, but we love and follow and trust and obey for who he is. He's King of all. He's Lord of all. And he entered into the city to lay everything down for you. So for us, we enter into this journey where we're like, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to walk with you. I want to surrender you as my Savior and my King day in and day out. And I trust you in that. I want to walk with you, but I need help. I need your guidance. I need your instruction. I need your Holy Spirit. And I need you to bring change. Change my heart and mind. And I'm going to need some people to run with in this endeavor as well. Some others that are desiring to follow you as well. Others that say, Lord, we're surrendered to you in all areas and we need you. We can't do it alone. Others that want to chase after him. Others that want to sing his praises. But also in the quiet of a Wednesday evening, the early parts of a Friday morning, when you're with the Lord, just one-on-one, that we're just, Lord, you are King. You are Master. Teach me. Grow me. Let me understand your grace more that I may follow you day in and day out. So how do we respond to Jesus? How do we look to him? How are we pursuing him? as he came today on Sunday morning. And we're yielding to him on Tuesday, Wednesday, 7 days a week. May it be so. Jesus again said, I came not for my own will or my own way, but to do the will of the one who sent me. This is the Father's plan. Jesus came in riding an animal that was a symbol of peace, because in humility he was laying down his life just some days from then. But there is a day coming. The scriptures indicate Christ, our Master and Lord, will return. He will come again. And that future day, he will not be coming in peace. He will be coming as warrior, as a general of all generals, to do away with the nonsense once and for all. The scriptures in Philippians 2 make it clear, everyone will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord of lords, King of kings. And the prayer is that we get to do it now, that we acknowledge him now as Master, as Savior. And now, in this moment, in this day, we get to walk with him afresh. We get to deny the self and say, Lord, we want your will to be done, not mine, but yours. I want to walk with you as a rescuer and king. And I want to acknowledge you now and enter into eternity with you, the joy of knowing you, Lord. So have you trusted Jesus? Have you turned to him in faith? Have you acknowledged that he is Savior and Rescuer, the one that died, was buried, and rose, the one who came for us and has invaded our lives and says, hey, come and follow me now. Come and worship me now. Come and find hope in me now. Come and find forgiveness in me now. Come and enter into the redemption and transformation that I provide. To the Spirit of God, have you bent the knee in faith to the only one worthy of this type of recognition, the only one worthy of red carpets and branches? Don't wait. Enter life with Jesus by faith today. We know what it's like, right, to wander north. We know what it's like to wander south. I don't know. Where's my compass? And how lonely and how dark and discouraging it can be. But Jesus, according to the will of God, was sent for the glory of God and for your great rescue. He was sent for the Father, and he was sent here for you personally, that your heart and your mind and life could be softened to the reality of who he is, and that you could have a life that is drawn and oriented to him. Sunday morning, Thursday night, 7 days a week, 365. What's holding you back? May you trust Jesus today. Place your faith in the Master today. Enter into the community that he has built, the kingdom that he has built that is unfolding. Enter into life today. All the other stuff, all of it, through Jesus and the cross, is forgiven if you turn and repent and believe in Christ. But no mistake about it. He's inviting us to yield to him as king. So we confess him And then we enter into this great procession of those following and praising and making him known and finding new life internally and externally through him. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And we're just grateful that you showed up. You followed the Father's plan. You invited people into this plan of the Father's that was brought forth through you and by God the Holy Spirit. You did come to wage war, but it wasn't the type of war that people were really looking for in some cases. You came to wage war against our sin. You came to die in our place. You shed your blood to be the atonement of our sins, to bridge us to the Father, to reconnect and to connect us that we might be at peace with the Father and enter into the joy of fellowship with you, God. Thank you. Thank you for coming in peace and humility. Thank you for guiding your followers. Thank you for guiding us today. So God, as we think about this Palm Sunday here, just these last few minutes, we're just in awe of what it represents. The palm branches that were waved as a sign of worship for you, the branches and the cloaks thrown down on the ground to provide a carpet of sorts for you to come in so that you could then lay down your life for us. May the depth of the gospel and the good news of Jesus never grow old, but may it just shape our lives more and more. May we go deeper and deeper into the reality of what you've won for us. God, I pray your blessing on the people now. I pray just that you continue to encourage them. And I pray, Lord, that you would be blessed in our fellowship as we connect and make new friendships and connect with old friendships here. God, that you'd continue just to provide unity, that you would build Harvest Church for your glory, and that you'd send us out into a life of worship of you this week, and you'd send us out to love those around us, not just in word, but in deed as well. So God, you're awesome. We give you glory and honor, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, God bless you guys. You're dismissed. But yeah, thank you so much to the hospitality team bringing all these great treats week in and week out. There's some good treats here, some coffee. Again, if you've got any prayer requests, I'm here to pray. And then there's connect cards where you can put prayer requests down. We'd love to be praying for you and get you connected. And God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you Friday, God willing.